right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about meat. I don't know. A lot of you guys have seen, there was that Tucker Carlson story of, the food processing plants being shut down and all the conspiracy theorists are like, hey, what the hell? And anytime you look at the little Reuters fact check, or they had the Snopes fact check, I don't even know if Snopes is a thing anymore. I know they used to be, but I don't really see them critiquing my shit anymore. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But either way, bottom line is they're like, oh, well, nobody's investigated it and nobody found anything. So clearly that means there's nothing there. Move along. A lot of theirs are like, well, it's completely false because they say these 12 happened this year. And it really, some of the ones they cite as examples happened in the previous year or whatever. And actually, I got to say, I started like writing them down and documenting them. And there's tons out there. You can go way past 12 since February, and it's only June, So I guess it started, it got into people's minds. April 14th, a plane crashed into an Idaho potato and food processing plant, and it killed the pilot and burned down the plant. Then April 22nd, another plane crashes, and the thing is, it was near a General Mills plant. Now, when they say near, they're trying to make you think like, oh, it could have been 5 miles away. Well, no, it was near so that it took out 6 tractor trailers in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's pretty near.
That's pretty near. And that was in Georgia. So, all right, whatever. That, the guy was either, I know they tried to crash a plane into, maybe the White House, but they ended up in a field in Pennsylvania. Sometimes it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go, right? But all right, we're going to dismiss that as planes crash. But I got to say, 2 in 8 days, that is kind of weird, right? February 5th, there was a Wisconsin River Meats had a big fire, burned the place down. Shearer's Food in Oregon on February 22nd, they had a propane boiler explode. I guess it happens. It's weird. March 17th in Indiana, this is a bigger one, the Walmart distribution center. You guys don't realize, but these distribution centers are huge. I was looking at some and they were like, oh, but that's a small factory. It didn't matter. And they're like, yeah, they only lost 50,000 pounds of grain, 35,000 pounds of meat. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's
that
a lot.
To me sounds big. To me, that's significant, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Nestle Hot Pockets in Arkansas, March 22nd. They burned down.
Oh, you start messing with my Hot Pockets, man, we're going to have some problems.
Right? Meat Market in Butcher Shop in New Hampshire caught on fire. A soybean processing tank caught on fire in Virginia at a Purdue plant. Rio Fresh Onion Packing, March 31st. April 13th, Taylor Farms Food Service Production in California. May 28th, Minnesota fire at a commercial egg farm. 200,000 chickens. Now, let's talk about – well, so here's the thing. So there were tons, dude. I just stopped writing them down. There was a ton more. And some of the evidence I had suggested that they do have factory fires a lot. And believe it or not, it is a lot more frequent than you would think. But the way they dismiss it is just kind of weird. So Reuters said they fact-checked it, and it's not true because in the ones they mentioned, out of the 12 they mentioned, 2 of them – didn't do severe damage. And I'm like, yeah, because when I did my research, I found another 30 or 40 that did, and none of them were declared arson. So that was another thing that, somehow made it fact for them. Now, I don't know what the percentage is on, you know, how able they are to investigate. I mean, when a factory burns down, I do feel like they usually get to the bottom of it, you know, of what caused it. But right. I don't know. So but anyway, so I was going to move on. Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of factories burning down.
A lot of factories are burning down.
All right.
So they talked to one of the senior vice president of communication. So the guy who does public relations at the National Chicken Council. I didn't even know that was a thing, but it turns out.
Okay.
Tom Super told Reuters via email that he thinks it's just fake news. Now, here's what he said, though. And this is why I kind of am like, you're kind of an idiot. This is a direct quote. I wrote it word for word. It's, I can only speak for chicken, but like any manufacturing plant or industry, there are generally a few fires that occur each year. Each year across the country, the majority are accidental and are contained rather quickly and certainly not enough to affect the chicken supply. Now, I got to say, I feel like price is higher in chicken. You've seen that? I know at most local stores, I actually am having a hard time buying the different cuts of chicken. I was kind of under the impression it was more they didn't have people to process it. But All right. But a little more research I did. April 28th, there's an egg-laying factory that ended up killing 5.3 million chickens because they had one case of avian flu. And I'm like, well, 5.3 million chickens, to me, that's significant. But then I looked a little bit further. Believe it or not, in the last 24 months, they've killed – or no, sorry, in the last 2 months, they've killed 24 million chickens because of fear of avian flu. 24 right. million sounds like a lot of chicken. I don't know. I feel like that's significant. But bottom line is, it doesn't really matter what the cause is. I just know that our food costs are going up. And that's kind of my point.
Meat prices are going up significantly.
And meat prices are going up dramatically, right? The availability does seem to be diminished in some capacity. Whether it's, you know, the level of, you know, conspiracy, I'm not really sure. I kind of find it pretty suspicious. I also find it weird that nobody cares to look into it.
Yeah.
You know, that I find concerning. I know you could dismiss it as well. It just happens. But it was also weird that Biden came out and was like, yeah, we're going to have all these food shortages coming up. And then all this shit happened. That kind of sounds weird to me. Now, he was kind of attributing it to Ukraine and like that. He's like, well, if we go to war with Russia, there's a lot of wheat and stuff that comes out of there. And there is actually a lot of stuff that comes out of Ukraine.
Right.
That, again, not meat, but stuff that wouldn't affect our food prices and costs and like right. that. So something to... Oh, I actually – there were a couple of points they had in the Reuters article I thought were funny. They said that you know, it really isn't a big deal because why would anybody care if a Cinnamon Toast Crunch factory burned down? I like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, so I care. You know, just because you don't agree with me. They also – yeah. That's it. I was worried about them dismissing Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Like, we don't care. Kevin's worried about his Hot Pockets. I mean, I feel like you kind of got breakfast taken out. If you don't have Hot Pockets and you don't have Cinnamon Toast Crunch, what are you left with?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? God Eggo forbid. Waffles, next thing on the list is, the next thing on the list is the Pop-Tarts, man.
Right.
We're just going to be out of luck. Pop-Tarts
or Eggo go down. We're done. I don't know. I just find it a little weird to just dismiss it like it's nothing. And I like that people's argument of, well, it hasn't been proven true, so therefore it automatically is false. I find that that doesn't ring true with me, you know, that. But bottom line, we're a show about prepping, survival, that kind of stuff. So what can we do about it, right? That's the whole point, is you need to prepare. And I know, you know, lately we've been kind of saying, hey, you know, you should have listened to us before. It would have been cool if you had stockpiled when we suggested it. And that's all true, but it's still not too late.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's not really helpful information to say you're fucked now.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, yeah. I was about to go on another tirade and I try and slow it down. I'll save it for the end. So bottom line, you can grow a lot of meat yourself. Obviously vegetables, farming and like that, you can grow a lot of food that way and really get a great yield. I would recommend you check out that book, Secret Garden of Survival. They come up with a lot of neat ideas for the whole vegetable end. But today we're talking about meat. So there's a couple animals that you could do to set up your homestead to really change things. And I got to say, chickens are a great place to start.
Right.
One of the things is chickens are kind of, they consider like the gateway farm animal, you know, for the homesteader, because they really are easy. I mean, they don't need vets. They don't need medical attention, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just a chicken. If it dies, you know, some of you love your chickens. You put them on t-shirts and it's great. And I'm horrible for saying that, but it's chicken, right? So, and honestly, aside of predators, I think I've probably raised about 60 chickens, and I would say maybe two we've lost to illness. You know, the rest were from predators.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I've got a problem illness, right now, actually.
They get weird infections or something, but yeah.
I've got an issue right now, and if any of you guys listening have some suggestions, let me know. But I've got a peregrine hawk that like lives in my area and has been snatching up my ducks. So that means that I have to keep the ducks, you know, contained in a smaller area to keep them protected, and you know, it's kind of a pain in the ass. But yeah, two in the last 3 months have been snatched up, and I see this hawk come by every day. He comes by and sits in a tree and watches, waiting to see somebody slipping. And you can't actually kill them legally, the hawks.
I think in New York you can catch them, which I don't know what that means.
I don't know how I would do that. I think a pellet gun is pretty quiet. But anyway, So the great thing about raising chickens and ducks and any kind of bird is the eggs. You know, you can get a lot of consistent protein coming from your eggs, and that's like you said, it's kind of like the first animal you're going to get on your farm if you're going to be raising animals. But there's some other great animals that you can raise for meat for low cost and low space. And the one I'm thinking of right off the top of my head is rabbits.
Yeah. Now I have a lot of information on rabbits.
Okay. Can I just say though, when I was a kid, I was a 4-H nerd and I raised rabbits. I do have a little bit of experience with them. And I will say that rabbits actually do fuck like rabbits and reproduce fast.
Dude, I have a statistic that is mind blowing. So they said that one pair of rabbits, now this is obviously exponential, right?
Right.
You know, with the ones that are bred end up breeding and they breed and they breed and it grows. One pair of rabbits over 4 years can produce 4 million rabbits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot.
Now, you're like, well, that's like fucking like rabbits. That's insane. Well, the idea is predators eat baby rabbits and regular rabbits like fucking crazy.
Right.
But guess what? We could be that predator.
Yeah. My cat actually brought a rabbit to me this morning.
Exactly. They're like, hey, you know, I used to, we had a neighbor when I was a kid that, their dog would like set a dead rabbit on the front porch every day because like, hey, look, I'm bringing in, you know, earning my keep. I'm like, you know, hey, that's, he's looking out. So there's a lot of different breeds for meat rabbits. They're typically, I have read, now I've never tried this or wanted to try this, not rabbits, but catching a wild rabbit and having it live in captivity, they actually kind of get depressed and just like won't do anything and kind of right. end up dying. Not a good way to go. Now, if you could catch baby wild rabbits and then kind of bring them up, you might be all right. You might be able to pull that off. And I mean, you could try it, I guess, if you're stuck in a situation and you got to start from nothing. You know, hey, I would try it. I would try and keep them contained. I would have as big of a, you know, containment area as I could. And I would, you know, then kind of work off the babies, you know. But you see what you could do there. But anyway, so catching wild rabbits is not exactly the answer on that. And the wild rabbits, you're going to be smaller. You're looking at like kind of 2 to 4 pounds of meat is what you would get off a wild rabbit. Mm-hmm. But these rabbits that you grow for breeding or for meat, that's a whole other ballgame. The right. most common that I see in my research is usually New Zealand rabbits. Mm-hmm. And they'll end up giving you 9 to 12 pounds of meat. And they lay 14 bunnies per pregnancy. And they're mature enough to eat at 8 weeks. So, and you basically end up with 6 to 8 litters a year is usually how that'll work. So that's a lot of bunnies, 60, 80, 84. So something like 84, 85 bunnies every year. That ain't bad. And a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll have one male and two females. So you can kind of keep that going. You can hit pretty good numbers. Another popular one is Californian. They're 8 to 12 pounds, but they only have 6 to 8 each litter. So that cuts back. A lot of people like the Rex bunnies. And if you remember the story of the Velveteen Rabbit, he was a Rex. All right. That's okay. The kind. So that's the bonus there is you get the really nice fur, right? Like where they're like ridiculously soft. And if you pick out, you know, the right ones, they're usually 7 to 11 pounds for the litter. But you get the bonus of the fur. They usually have 6 to 12. They call them kits, the little bunnies every litter. And again, that's 6 to 8 a year. So that's your kind of neighborhood. You can do a lot of meat. Now, the reason people get excited about rabbits is they say rabbits are about 4 pounds of feed to 1 pound of meat yield. All right. Whereas a cow is 7 pounds of feed to 1 pound of meat. So you see where rabbits are actually giving you more for your money. And I got to say, you don't have to worry about keeping them in the freezer or whatever. You can kind of do a rabbit as needed, right? Like you kill the rabbit and you're like, yep, dinner tonight. You kill the cow.
A cow
you're
or
like,
a goat.
Fuck, now I got to deal with it. Right. You're not just dealing with dinner tonight when you deal with a cow.
Let's be clear, though. If you're raising animals for meat, you have to be the butcher. You're not going to save any money by doing that and then not processing your own meat.
And that's also where cows tend to get complicated. Cows, if you have a decent amount of grazing land, they can still be pretty profitable if you're going to the butcher. But like Kevin said, you're not having somebody process your chickens or your bunnies and – you end up winning on that. Same thing. I was reading that people process a goat for about $50. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they will. I don't think in today's times that's really realistic. I know I talked to the guys.
I'll tell you
at the
something
farmer's
honestly
market.
About about goats, about processing goats. Nobody wants to do it because you have to convince the goat to not be scared of you. You have to be friendly with the goat. Goats are intelligent. So you have to befriend the goat and then cut its throat, which nobody really likes doing, you know? And if you've ever had goats, you know that, you know, it's like killing your dog, you know? They're nice animals. They're good. They're smart. You know, they listen. You can teach them things. And you don't really want to be the guy that's killing goats. Nobody does. So I know people that process meat, and every one of them has said that they wouldn't kill a goat.
Right. I would say if you guys go deer hunting, that kind of stuff, you need to watch some videos. You need to figure out how to process your own, you know, meat. And once you do that, once you've done a deer, do a rabbit, do some other little things. You know, you don't need to have big rabbit breeds, but cut up the little things and see what you can do. You know, watch a YouTube video, because there's so much easier ways to do it if you know what you're doing, as opposed to jumping in. I'll put a link in the show notes to a great book that I have. I don't know. It's some kind of like processing meat for whatever. So I'll put it in the notes, cause I don't have it right in front of me, but, that kind of covers all the wild game and all the different animals. That would be helpful. This is the skill you want to learn now beforehand, and you want to try out. And that's the thing. You want to get the right knives. You know, you want to say, hey, you know, if I learn how to string it up, or if I learn to, you know, cut the wrists of the animal and go vent to vent and whatever, the little things you do about gutting an animal or, you know, bleeding it out, different things make it so much easier after, instead of trying to figure it out in a stressful situation where you end up with half the meat wasted.
Right.
That's not the way to go. But rabbits are just amazing. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes. It does look like for like a full on rabbit production kind of facility, you're probably looking at like $800 to do it nice and easy. But again, everything's always a trade off, right? Time and money. You could probably make one out of scrap crap and do something and have no problem. I'll put a link in the show notes of this girl I had talked about a little while ago. It's like, if you just search, I think it's like Tiffany's Rabbit Hutch or something. She does a nice video and has a link to some cages that seem pretty awesome. And right out of the gate, like if throwing money at a problem is the way to go, it seems like the right answer. But again, you could rig up something just for two bunnies and whatever. If you want to save money on feed for your rabbits, they do. And same for chickens. They have something called a chicken tractor. My chickens are free range, but with the wife, I don't know, I end up feeding them way more than I feel like I should be. Like I buy feed that,
right.
I don't know, it keeps them laying nice eggs and whatever. But I feel like if I just kind of had them free range, but I also have a pretty big fenced property, so it works out. But I've lost, I think, I don't know, maybe as many as 10 chickens over the 2 years to predators. Over the 2 years that I've been here. So you got to weigh it out. But again, that's still easier for me than a chicken tractor or something. And it gets me out hunting every now and again, shooting foxes or whatever needs to be done.
Don't say that out loud.
That's legal. That's legal here. I'm not in the communist state of New York. You do what you got to do, as far as I've lost some to owls, and I'm not out shooting owls in the nighttime. You know, what are you going to do? It's kind of the game. The idea is the chickens are supposed to go in the coop, and if they're too stupid and want to sleep on the roof of the house, then what am I going to do? You know, it's like, you're the idiot. You know, I can only do so much for you at this point. Or keeping snakes out of the chicken coop, right? That's my latest problem. Some of you guys saw a picture I put up of that, but it's always something going on. You know, you have to be, you know, out there protecting and doing. But if you start this stuff now, and again, I understand a lot of you, this isn't the episode for you. You live in the city, you have a small apartment, whatever, not where I'd want to be when the economy's turning to crap and whatever. You know, you always hear the stories of the Great Depression. And you hear about all the farmers and stuff, and they're like, yeah, we didn't even know that happened. Like, we didn't see it. You know, now, mind you, they were poor at the beginning and they were poor at the end, but they still had food on the table. You know, that's the difference. You know, it's kind of the life that you choose, but I don't know. You do what you got to do. What else? So basically, my suggestion, this is the ideal setup. I watched a lot of videos of people who do 100% of their meat. Now, I end up working out with other local farmers and figure out, you know, what to do. But people who don't buy any meat, one of the examples I saw had 6 layer hens, 25 meat chickens. Now, the 25 meat chickens, they do all at once. And they said you want to do it really in the springtime because you don't want to, one, butcher animals when it's hot out. It sucks. It sucks because you got flies and bugs and all kinds of things. Right. The bugs are desperate to get in there. You're desperate to get the meat processed super quick because it's warm and it's going bad. Whereas if you can do it in the spring where it's still kind of cool out, not a big deal. 8 to 10 weeks, you can raise chickens from, you know, egg to edible, ready to go in the freezer. They do 25 chickens a year, do it in the one shot, and then butcher them all at 8 or 10 weeks, throw them in the freezer, and they're good to go. Pigs, they recommend one pig, because I found in when I was in New York, when it was me, the wife, and one kid, no, me, the wife, and two kids, we could get away with 1/4 of a cow, 1 pig, and I don't know, we didn't buy chicken in advance, you know, on that. So I don't really know. But we did 1/4 of a cow and 1 pig was enough for my family. We had the bigger family of, I had the 2 boys, 2 girls, and mom and dad. We were doing 1/2 a cow a year. And we'd have a little bit left over with the 1/2 a cow. I think at that point I was alternating between 1/2 and 1/4 each year.
Right.
So you kind of decide on that. Again, that cow can be replaced by rabbits, which is my dream for the future, but I haven't pulled that off yet. These people were saying they do 1 cow, but again, they're the same thing. They said they were eating 1/2 a cow a year. They do 1 pig for their family, 25 layer hens, or sorry, 6 layer hens, 25 meat hens, and that's it. They had talked about doing a goat for dairy, but not for meat. That might be something you might want to consider. Back to rabbits. Rabbits, you can expect anywhere from 115 to about 300 pounds a year for 1 pair. And again, 1 pair, you can up that by just adding one more rabbit and having 1 buck and 2 females, 2 does, if you will. And you could double your meat supply on that. That might be something to really look at. I think I'm going to definitely get into rabbits. It's still probably a year out. Everything is so hard to get up and get going. You know, I'm still trying to get the whole farm end of it going, you know, the planning and fields and fences and whatever. But that can do a lot for you. They say basically cost to raise rabbits seem to come in at about $1.68. Ducks anywhere from, and this is a pound. Ducks seem to be $2.23 a pound for if you're feeding them crap. They said if you feed them better stuff, it's like $5.38 a pound. So that's a little expensive. Grass-fed beef is $1.64 a pound, so it comes in a little cheaper. Pig comes in at about $2.13 a pound. Chicken at about 33 cents a pound, goats at about $1.25 a pound. Now I know goats eat a lot of, you know, you can just kind of free range them. You don't even have to supplement too much. I think part of that $1.25 was butcher.
You can save a lot of money on any meat. If you, you know, the more land you have and more free ranging you do, you know,
all day.
Pigs can be very expensive, but they can also take care of themselves if they have enough space, or at least to an extent, if they have enough space to move around. And takes a lot more space for a pig than a chicken, you know? Now, what do you think about small game hunting? A lot of people disregard it. A lot of people don't bother with it. But, you know, squirrel, rabbit, turkey, a lot of these things are worthwhile and they're just walking through your yard. if you know how to do it and you know how to butcher the animal, you can save a lot of money on meat. You know, obviously a squirrel doesn't have a whole lot of meat on it, but you know, you can get a few squirrels a day, you know. I would stay away from raccoons. They taste terrible, and they're a lot of work to make them not taste terrible. Any sort of stuff that digs in your trash is not really worthwhile. You also want to be conscientious of parasites. So you want to do some good cooking. Now, one of the animals that is kind of in the small game hunting area in certain countries is cat. Now, I've never eaten a cat. There are some places where it's a little bit more common. Some
is that Chinese restaurants?
Well, let me tell you something. I was looking into it. So they don't eat a lot of cat in China, except for the province of Guangdong. And the older people say that cat is a good warming food during the winter months.
Nice.
They also have a dish where cat is a main ingredient, and the dish is called Dragon Tiger Phoenix, which is basically a meal made with snake meat, cat meat, and chicken, which, you know, I'm not really interested in trying that, but whatever. Different strokes, man. I have eaten dog, which I would recommend against doing. It's not good.
And you feel bad?
Yeah, you feel bad about it too. When I was in, I was doing a little bit of research in it, and it said the U.S. military used to do that during like the years of westward expansion. The U.S. Army, if they were short on food, the order they would kill things in was horses, then mules, and then dogs after that. You know, you don't want to be eating dog meat because it just doesn't taste good. Squab. Now, squab is pigeon. And if you're going to buy that online, it's about $25 a pound, which is ridiculous. Whoa. If you live in New York City, you can just snatch them up. Yeah. So, you know, that's something not worth buying, but if you see pigeons around, they're not bad food. I've eaten squab before, and it was cooked, in a terrible way. It didn't taste good, but the meat itself was not bad. Turtle, snapping turtles. I've eaten turtle before. All right. So when I looked up turtle, it said that there's seven different distinct types of meat that come off of one snapping turtle. And they're comparable to pork, chicken, beef, shrimp, veal, fish, or goat, depending on the piece you're eating. Now, I've eaten turtle, and it's somehow mushy and chewy at the same time. So don't expect it to actually taste good. You know, don't be like, well, I'll just get the pork part. Nah, it's all pretty fucking gross. If you're desperate and if you have snapping turtles, that's great. But I wouldn't go out of my way to get it.
Right. But if snapping turtles are part of your plan, or you're really like, hey, I'm a live off the land kind of guy, and you have the swampy areas and stuff around you.
Right.
Watch some videos now.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how to freaking deal with that kind of thing, because it doesn't look easy or fun to me. I know people do it, but yeah, figure it out. You know, watch how it's done. I know that all the animals that I process, after I've watched a video or seen somebody do it, you know, I know I hate that we live in a world that you have to go to YouTube and find the one guy that knows how to do it, as opposed to when it would be like, oh, go ask Johnny up the road. Right. He does those.
You know, the crazy uncle that lives across town. Anymore. Yep.
Right. And I mean, if you find that guy and can really use him as a resource, you really need to take advantage of that and don't let these skills die. But just the same, maybe you watch all the videos, do the research, and maybe you become that guy. You know, I mean, you need to kind of keep some of these skills alive. You know, that's one of the big things that we become so dependent as a society. Like, we need the infrastructure. We need our government. We need to be taken care of, because nobody cares about the skills to take care of ourselves. You know, it's great that, you know, we're going to, you know, have a world where everything's automated and machines and robots and computers and whatever. But the bottom line is we do absolutely become dependent on it. And such a large majority of the world would die without it now because we don't know how to live any other way. We don't know how to take care of ourselves. And that's kind of a scary idea, you know? I mean, I know the idea is like, well, it'll always be there. You know, technology's here. And, you know, there's a good chance it kind of always will. It's going to be technology that kills us. So, you know, it's going to be the robots that come and kill us. So, yeah, your argument could be right. But it also could just be one EMP away from trying to have to figure that shit out for yourself. And yeah. There's some fun in it too. You know, those skills, they give some validity to you being a man or being a provider and taking care of yourself. You know, they say that men actually have less testosterone now and we're becoming more, you know, wussified as society goes on. I don't know the word that we should be using.
It's microplastics.
Here.
It's all microplastics.
Microplastics. That's what's doing us in. All right. Mm-hmm. It could be that, or it could be that we don't get out and hunt. We don't do anything. We just all sit and stare at our phones and worry about nonsense. And the closest thing to, you know, going out and eating something is playing some bullshit game on the internet, you know? So,
right.
I don't know. I'm just saying you might want to look into that. I know it's a great YouTube channel, Deer Meat for Dinner. That guy seems to find ways to cook and clean and do everything. Has a lot of neat different things. They all seem to come back to the same recipe, but, you know.
Yeah. Meat Eater is a great show, too, where he has a lot of different types of food that he butchers and cooks. Now, let's talk real quick about you know, people are saying, Chuck, Kevin, I'm not going to do any of this bullshit. This shit all seems like work. I'm not doing any of this shit. So what you can do right now is stock up on
meat. Guts are gross and slippery.
Okay. Yeah, it's gross and slimy and yep. Yep. So let's talk about buying some meat right now. If you want to get good prices on poultry right now, you're going to have to get the less processed stuff. You know, don't go straight for the chicken breast, thighs and meat, all that stuff. Get the less processed stuff that you have to cut the fat off or, you know, remove the skin. You can save a lot of money doing it that way. Now, but storing meat is also an issue. So, you know, you're going to pack your freezer full of it. And then, you know what? Chuck, you just mentioned something about an EMP. A lot of these things seemed unreasonable, you know, a few years ago. Not realistic. But the truth is, we've seen the power grids failing in the United States, and the idea of a cyber attack is not, you know, completely crazy anymore. It's reasonable to worry about that sort of stuff. So if you're going to freeze all your meat and get everything stored up and ready to go, you're going to want to be conscientious about that. Have a generator. You know, three days is enough to destroy all your meat. You're going to want to have a backup plan for it.
A temperature alarm, you know, anything, you know, on your freezer might be a good way to go.
You don't want to lose all of that meat. Fact.
Right.
Yeah. So, and it's going to be more expensive. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, this is the cheapest meat you're going to get for a while, the stuff that's at the grocery store right now. So and now is a great time to invest that money in and get ready to go. Just make sure you don't lose that investment by, you know, something right. stupid happens and you end up losing all that money.
You guys heard me mention that I buy a quarter or a half a cow. Now I haven't since I moved to North Carolina. I haven't found the right guy to buy from. I buy actually fresh meat. Cause my wife goes to the farmer's market every week and we buy from our local, you know, cow guys and our chicken people and whatever, but I pay through the nose on it and I don't get excited about buying in bulk like that. And I do get some grocery store meat still. When I was in New York, I had a hookup with a great guy who was nothing but amazing to me. And he, you know, he got me great meat for very cheap, you know, and I did buy a half a cow one year and I had a big upright freezer. I put it in. It was so new. So basically, he would send it to the butcher and I would go to the butcher and pick it up. And then I'd go over to his house like a week later and pay him, you know, whenever it was convenient. And I hadn't even paid for the meat yet. I'd eaten less than 5 pounds of it and a whole half a cow in the freezer. So I think we were in the neighborhood of like $1,400. And something happened. I think it was something stupid, like the drain in the freezer stopped and backed up. So what happened was the drain, it ended up when it defrosted, it built up a little water and like 2 inches high, it stopped the air from circulating, which just made the freezer get a little bit warmer. But it was enough that the plastic frozen bags of meat ended up thawing a little bit and they pushed the door open a half of an inch. And then the humidity got in and it freaking just turned into a disaster. Then everything melted, pushed the door open like all the way, and there was just blood on the floor when I came out. And I had to take it all to the dump, and I'm sure the dump didn't smell good after that. And it just and then I had to go pay the guy $1,500 for the meat that was already in the dump. And I didn't even tell him. I was like, yeah, thanks. You know, the meat's great. Because I'm like, yeah, I don't want him to feel bad for me. You know, whatever. That's my problem. I'm stupid. But damn. So try and protect your stuff. Find a way to take care of it. But my point is, Kevin's right. You know, raising your stuff fresh, having your own stuff, especially something smaller that you can do more on demand, like chickens and rabbits, that you can kind of process it and deal with it on your own terms, might be a way better way to go. Plus, having the skill and knowing how to do it, you're not affected by big environment outside things like bird flu and things like that. Yes, it's possible, but you're not worried on the national scale like things are. You know, your things are pretty isolated. Obviously, you can't control what birds come in and fly and interact with your flock. Yes, they could get bird flu. But the bottom line is, when your stuff is separate, you can have a lot more control and you're not as affected by the outside market. So that's something, you know, to take into account. Now, Kevin had just said that maybe you need to be thinking about small game and stuff like that. Well, you know where I'm going with this, right? AmmoSeek.com. You're like, well, Chuck, I need 22 long rifle to take care of that small game. We got you. You want to find the best price? You want to buy it in bulk? AmmoSeek.com. These guys are going to have it. They're going to tell you who's got it in stock, who's got free shipping, what their shipping costs are like if you want to, you know, maybe sometimes working it in, it's not the best deal. So they're going to help present it all to you, lay it all out. You pick out what you like. Maybe you want to get the deer. Hunting season's coming up. You know, September's just around the corner. You want to get some 30-30. You know, you need to be ready for shit. Guess what? AmmoSeek.com. Hard to find at your local store. They're going to tell you who's got it, who's got the best price, and who can ship it to you. So I don't know how you'd go wrong with something like that. I mean, bottom line, if you're going to do all the legwork, do everything for me, and just make it easy, I don't know why I'm not buying thousands of bullets every day. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, right now I'm on the thousands of bullets every week schedule. I feel like I need to step up my game, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to get lost in that. But, you know, hey, to each their own. I'm just saying, if you want the best deal, don't play games. Find out who's got it instead of searching 30 websites like I used to do all the time to, you know, oh, who's got a sale? Who's going on? Now you can – right now I know what's going on right now today. So AmmoSeek.com.
Yeah, if you're going to pick up any ammo, that's the place to go and find the best prices. AmmoSeek.com. All right. Anything else you want to hit on? Oh, did you see that guy, Alexei Navalny? Disappeared. You remember him? He was running for president in Russia, and then they poisoned him with some weird radioactive shit. They put it on his underwear band, and then he went to a hospital, and I think he was in Europe somewhere, and because he was in the hospital because they poisoned him, he didn't check in for his probation hearing. So he went to prison, And now they're extending his prison sentence by several years by for fraud or something. But then he just disappeared. Oh, yeah, sure. He's not in the prison that he was in before.
Escape artist.
Yeah, well.
Is that not what you were thinking?
That's not what I think happened to him. No. Okay. But I think it's not a good idea. It's not smart to be a politician in Russia. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You don't want to be somebody that's a threat to Putin being elected. Not today. Not in today's day and age. Not healthy.
No, not good. Dude, it's always something in the news. And, you know, whenever it comes to shadiness. But it's funny how our government doesn't seem to be that far away. Like, you know, how often was the joke? I mean, shit, think of all the Epstein nonsense. You know, he still didn't kill himself.
Right.
But all that stuff, did you hear about that?
Yeah, the white. Did you hear about Ghislaine Maxwell's cellmate said that she was offered several thousand dollars to kill her?
I feel like several thousand isn't enough. You know, like, I'd want to get paid. This
not
is
enough
deal,
to keep
you
your fucking mouth shut, apparently.
No, not. You know, hey, that's the thing. It's ridiculous that, you know, this kind of thing. And how does it go on? And everyone's like, well, we don't know, but we're not going to get to the bottom of it. You know, like, we don't know why those cameras were shut off and the guards weren't watching. And, you know, who knows, right? I mean, that's fucking ridiculous. That's exactly, you know, that's my point. That's why nobody raises an eyebrow at the whole, you know, meat food processing plants getting destroyed. And they're like, well, there was no evidence. Right. And there was no evidence that there was foul play with Epstein. I mean, you know, when you tell me and expect me to believe this shit, you know, it's that whole, you say it's raining, but you're pissing down my back. You know, it's
right.
Yeah. No. Or whatever. It just, it's fucking ridiculous. You can't lie to me constantly and then be like, well, why do you question stuff? You're just an idiot. You know, well, maybe I'm not an idiot. Maybe I'm an idiot if I believe the bullshit that you're trying to get me to swallow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. But
yeah. Well, anyway, I'm going to say
the
rest of 2022 is going to be worse than 2020 and 2021. I'll tell you that. Get ready, man. Things are going downhill fast, like you just said.
Yeah. It's just a mess. There's no sign of things getting better. Did you hear? This is about a week old now. So, you know, don't yell at me because I'm bringing your news late. But Biden sent a letter to the oil companies saying, look, you guys keep raising the prices and causing problems. If you don't get your shit straight and bring down the prices, then I'm going to have to start taking over the industry and telling you how to run your business.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that only seems like that could help.
That always works, you know? Well.
If only the government would step in. Didn't we do that in Venezuela? Weren't they the fourth richest country in the world? Mm-hmm. And then the government was like, you know, if we stepped in and helped with the oil and gas business, we might be able to make things better. Mm-hmm. And now I think the average household income is zero. I was like, that can't even be a thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's the problem. So I'm just saying it doesn't usually end well. And there's no sign of things getting better. And I'm sure the recent Supreme Court thing decisions lately are going to make us all want to get along and hug each other. And
everyone's
well,
I did just
like,
see
really
the State
really
Department. Yeah, I just saw the State Department put out a warning that terror threat has increased because of that. So, that's going to be fun.
Well, obviously, when they said that it's increased because of recent Supreme Court decisions, they're talking about how in New York, they're going to make them give out concealed carries just because people don't list a good enough reason. I'm sure that's what they were referring to. And we'll move right along at that. You guys want some badass t-shirts? Let people know you're not giving them a fucking inch. Maybe you want to go to preppingbadass.com. Maybe you want to support us on Patreon at patreon.com/preppingbadass. Or even better, you have show topics, ideas, things you want to talk about, things you want to hear about. Maybe you have an opinion. Maybe you want to tell Kevin where he can really go. You can email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. We always read them. 90% of the time we answer them. And that's all I got for you. So with that, stay safe.
There you go.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.